All right, guys. Well, welcome to week three of the Free Ball and Football podcast. This is Nick. I wasn't
What?
able to make it last week, but we had a nice fill-in with Adam, our buddy, who was able to fill in adequately, I would say. What would you say, guys? We got Bill here, we've got Josh, and we've got Tim.
He
I don't
did
know. What would you
great,
guys?
dude.
How would
I don't know if
he
I'd
did
call
good.
it. I don't know if I would call it adequate. He spent most of his time talking about the Bills.
Oh man, he had a meltdown, a meltdown.
Wouldn't you have a meltdown if you were a Bills fan, though?
I mean, that's
I don't know.
fair.
You're a Browns fan. You tell us.
That is true. I am a Browns fan. For those of you guys who don't know, coming to you from Cleveland, currently coming to you from a bathroom with a towel on my head, to be honest with you. All right. Do you guys have anything you wanted to get off your chest before we head into the recaps?
I do actually. Tangentially related to football, Tim Tebow played his first instructional league game today and did go yard his first at bat. So watch out for Tim Tebow. Put him on the early list for your fantasy baseball drafts, and God bless.
Don't
That's awesome.
talk about fantasy baseball. I'm so angry about fantasy baseball right now.
I would be angry too if I spent wasted so much time playing such a dumb game.
I just a quick vent. I had the best team in the league by far. I ran the table, went like 16 weeks without a loss, and then lost some bullshit matchup in the semifinals. And then, without even setting my lineup, my team scored more than either of the teams in the championship. So fuck fantasy baseball. It's stupid.
So
And anybody
you were kind of like
who
the
is listening
Patriots.
is now not listening. Thanks for that, Tim.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. It is stupid. One thing that's a good point to call out. We're coming to you on Wednesday night. Bill had to deal with some hygiene issues, which caused a delay in the
That's
taping
nice.
here.
Thank
Bill,
you.
now that you're nice and deloused, would you like actually like to kick it off for us?
Wait.
I think.
They delouse you when you go to jail. Was that the reason?
No, my daughter had lice, and then we had to get rid of that. And then I spent Monday evening killing lice in her head and ending the infestation on her skull, and then delousing my beard. I didn't have any lice in my beard, but we did it as a preventative measure. And also, go fuck yourself.
Okay, we're not starting with you then. Tim, do you want to start with recaps?
Yeah, what do I got
I think you
first?
got I think you got KC and the Jets.
Oh God, fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick. I assume he left better efforts on tissues at Harvard, because that was just fucking awful. Six picks. I mean, Kansas City, they did a good job. They won, whatever. The Jets. I mean, as a Matt Forte owner, it was super frustrating because Ryan Fitzpatrick threw six picks. That's the only thing I can say about this game. It
I
was
haven't seen a
bad.
quarterback drain a six pack like that since Kerry Collins played.
Maybe Jake Plummer.
Oh man. Any other thoughts on Casey's D? I mean, were they doing anything, or was it just Fitzpatrick?
I won't lie, I didn't really watch this game, so I'm just giving hot takes. I think they did okay. I mean, Fitzpatrick gifted a one or two, but when you throw six, you're bound to do that.
Are we worried about Jamaal Charles? Or
I'm
if
not
anybody
worried
that
about.
He's not going to
actually
start.
drafted him, are
Okay,
we
so
worried?
I. So, okay, yeah, no. So I drafted him. I also drafted Spencer Ware in another league, and I am worried about him this week. He's not going to play. Andy Reid is bullshitting everybody again. Then they have the bye in week five, and I think he'll be back for week six. What that means, no idea. I think Spencer Ware is going to be good regardless, but God knows what the fuck we're going to get with Jamaal Charles going forward.
You get him for 2 weeks before he shatters his knee again. That's
I
probably
mean,
good.
that's fair.
I think that backfield has enough touches to go around. Let's be honest, they're not going to be winging the ball 50 times a game.
Yeah.
Jamaal Charles should still get a lot of the passing work. And honestly, I think the Chiefs are in a solid enough position where they have the luxury of not needing that spark. So, why rush him back if you don't have to? I'm not terribly worried about him.
They're
That's a
both
valid
two.
point.
They're 2-1 right now, and they face Pittsburgh, I think, this week. I mean, you can get by without him, and then you got the bye week, and then just let him fucking rest and hope that he gets it going.
All right. Okay, that's enough for that one. Pearl, do you have anything for Baltimore, Jacksonville?
I've got a few things.
I'm sure.
I watched that game. Almost had to be wheeled out on a stretcher. Much like the Cleveland game last week, a game that in a lot of no business winning, but there's a reason that the Jaguars are the Jaguars, and we got out with the victory on the leg of Justin Tucker and the extremely athletic and second consecutive game-ending interception by C.J. Mosley. Good on CBS. They ran a stat. I forget whether it's 0-6 or 0-9, but Blake Bortles has not won a game when he has thrown for over 300 yards. So that basically gives credence to the idea that he's done it all in garbage time. He really had trouble making plays when he needed to. They were up with like 4 minutes to play, and they threw two picks in that span. That should never happen. That's poor quarterbacking. It's even worse coaching. Gus Bradley might not be making it back from London. That seems to be the popular logic here. But the Ravens are 3-0, and I'm not sure how, and it's maybe been a quirk of scheduling, but last year we were 0-3, so I'll take it.
Spoiler alert, it's all the PEDs Terrell Suggs is taking.
Give him more. Give him more.
Somebody who placed money on the under on Jacksonville this year, I'm very happy with the outcome of that game.
Yeah, that was a smart bet.
One thing I certainly wasn't happy about was the Miami-Cleveland game. Go figure. full disclosure, I watched the beginning of this game in an airport bar in Punta Gorda, Florida. So I watched a lot of football, actually, from airport bars this weekend. It was kind of an interesting experience, not necessarily a pleasant one. But this game started off bad, got worse. Cody Kessler, first start, first play, fumbles the snap, go figure. But even worse start to the game might have been Ryan Tannehill, who throws a pick on the very first play. Ryan Tannehill tried to lose this game very badly and failed to do so only because the Browns are the best at losing. They routinely find ways to just, in instances where their win probability has to be like 99%, they have to have the record of plays that go the other way and just absolutely terrible. For those that didn't see, Browns defense, which is basically all practice squad players for the most part, actually went out in one game along with Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor, he lined up at quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. He had 200 yards of total offense.
And safety.
He completed three passes, and he played safety on a Hail Mary play. I've never seen an effort from like a guy like that. Like, that was fun. It was fun to watch Terrell Pryor go out and play football.
Can he kick?
You know what?
He'll need to.
Shit, we should really give him a shot at that. I think people forget that he was like the best athlete in college football for like a couple years. But that like the whole tattoo nonsense and whatever just kind of like really put him in a funk when he came into the league. Hugh Jackson, gotta give that guy credit for believing in him and putting him in positions.
But not
like,
believing in Carson Wentz. Good move, Hugh Jackson.
Fair enough.
Can you real quick, before we move on, can you real quick address the whole situation with the special teams coach wanting to sign Robbie Gould, but the team not willing to shell out the money for it when they're $45 million under the salary cap?
I mean, it's clearly that we're trying to lose. So, I mean, this was like the one game that's winnable. So don't worry, Browns fans, 0-16, excuse me, is still in play.
I can't wait for 2 years from now when you pick up Ryan Tannehill after the Dolphins finally cut his ass.
Probably.
Hey, Jared Goff might be available in 2 years.
No, he'll still be standing on the Rams sideline.
Speaking of the Rams, Josh, did you watch that L.A. Tampa game?
I caught most of the second half because it was one of those last games on Red Zone, and you just kind of end up getting sucked into that last 4 o'clock game to wrap up. I have no clue what I saw in that game. I would have bet more money on the Rams scoring zero touchdowns than whatever number they scored. I'm really curious to see them play Arizona next week, with Arizona being 1-2. What if the Rams win that game? Like, what does that mean for the NFL as a whole? Does that mean that the Rams are good and the Cardinals are bad? I don't know. But I will say this. If the Rams keep winning games, that makes Jeff Fisher's decision to wait on Jared Goff look smarter and smarter. Not saying it's a smart decision, because I don't think Jeff Fisher makes those, but it'll make the decision look smart. But, yeah.
And that's how you keep a job despite, like, winning only 7 games a year for the last 15 years.
Right, you go 7-9 in a terrible division, and you're like, oh, like, we could be good. And then you fucking hoodwinkle everybody. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Remember 2 weeks ago when everybody thought that Tampa was a good team? Good times.
Man, but
Mike Evans good had teams. A good game. That's all I care about.
So, like you said, though, Arizona, they're 1-2. They lost to Buffalo. Tim, did you catch that?
Yeah, so... Well, I think it might be genuinely time to worry about this Arizona team. I mean, week one they lost against the Patriots. Call it what you will. Jimmy Garoppolo's handsomeness might have intimidated them. But now they lost to this hot garbage Buffalo team that's probably going to hire Jim Schwartz away from Philadelphia in the offseason. I would worry. Carson Palmer, Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't so goddamn bad, everybody would be talking about how bad Carson Palmer was this week. I think it's time to worry. Also, on a personal note, fuck both the running backs in this game. They single-handedly ruined my fantasy day before it even got started. So, fuck you, David Johnson, and fuck you, Shady.
There's a 1-2 team out there that's a lot of people are pressing the panic button on. But I'm saying hold on to it is Cincinnati. They have played a really tough schedule up until now. And last week was no different playing Denver. That's a tough team. That's a tough defense. And then Cincinnati gets Miami next week. And they looked so bad against the Browns. They should have lost to them again, like I said, a practice squad team. A team that's actively trying to lose.
Well, time out. Let's back up here before we talk about next week. You talk about how tough the Broncos defense is, but what about their offense? I mean, they were throwing all over this Bengals defense. Trevor Siemian looked like Peyton Manning circa 2011.
I agree.
He was going deep to Demaryius, to Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, they were a well-oiled machine.
Agreed. That is not the outcome. I mean, I expected Denver to win, but that's not how I expected them to do it. I think most people probably expected a steady diet of C.J. Anderson. That guy did not get a ton of touches, much to the dismay of many fantasy owners, I know. But like you said, Trevor Siemian, man, that was amazing. So what they were doing was they were maxing out their protection and letting their big, awesome wide receivers in Demaryius and Sanders beat up on Cincinnati's secondary with double moves, which was, a good play. Perfect was out, still finishing out his suspension, and I was really not surprised at all to hear that Adam Jones is best friends with Vontaze Perfect. So, that's surprising.
Bet they hang out all the time.
Yeah, that's not surprising to anybody, I don't think.
Is it true that someone in Adam Jones' posse was the one who shot Harambe?
God, I hope so.
May not have been Tlaib again. He was so drunk he doesn't remember.
So is this the curse of Harambe then for Cincy?
I would say it is, except like, what does a curse look like for a team that hasn't won a playoff game since like I don't know, the Bush administration, the first one.
Well, maybe this is the first year that they don't win 10 games and, you know, choke. Maybe they peter out before they even make the playoffs this year. Who knows?
I'm sure Marvin Lewis got a very nice contract extension if that was the case.
If you want a real visual, though, it probably looks like a pile of diarrhea over spaghetti that somebody called chili. That's what it actually looks like.
Oh, hot take, Drew.
Fuck you, Josh.
Oh, man. Okay, I think that we've all gone on for long enough about some of the games that took place. We're going to let our resident Philly fan
Hold on. I thought we were going to talk about the Pats game. We were going to give the Pats the nod and throw them a bone, even though they've won against the competition.
I'll throw them a fucking bone. This is to me the most demoralizing Patriots win that I've seen maybe ever since Brady came back from his ACL. We've always assumed that, you know, Brady only has 2 or 3 years left and like, you know, they can't just replace a quarterback. They don't have a guy to step in. But Belichick's made it clear that he doesn't need Tom Brady. He could take any guy off the street and win with them. That team is so good, so disciplined. And I don't know what it is. I can't even be mad at the Patriots anymore. I'm mad at the rest of the NFL because every team goes up against them and especially goes into Foxborough and just completely shits their pants. And, you know, are the Pats a great team? Yeah. But it's like teams go in there and just lose the ability to play disciplined, smart football. The number of mistakes that teams make against them is just outrageous. And you would think that for such a big game, you'd be prepared, you'd be focused, and you'd be at least good enough to show up, especially if you're a team like Houston that's allegedly good. And, you know, as a Ravens fan, I'm sick of it. We've done our part. We've gone up there to Foxborough twice in the playoffs and won. We've gone, played them multiple times in the regular season and been competitive. All the way back to the 2016 and 0 season where we should have beaten them and Burst got through that flag. The only teams who have been able to consistently play the Pats close are the Ravens, whatever team Peyton Manning's playing for, and the Jets of all people. Some other team has to figure this shit out because we've done our part.
Hold on. You have to throw in the Giants. They have beaten them in 2 Super Bowls.
The Giants have beaten them in 2 Super Bowls. I am supremely grateful to the Giants for that. But some other AFC team, like Houston, had a chance to go out there and show the world that they were a contender, and they just shit the bed probably worse than any game and any team in recent memory. And that's bullshit, because the Patriots weren't reinventing the wheel. They were just sitting there and letting Houston beat themselves. Houston didn't even cross midfield until like midway through the third quarter. That's bullshit.
Bill O'Brien did his team no favors with the play calling. I don't know if you guys watched it. Like, it was bad. They could not get into rhythm. They're having Brock Osweiler throw these very, like, low percentage passes on first down. They routinely put themselves in third and long, and they could not get anything going. They did not do themselves any favors. And I agree, they did shit the bed pretty badly.
Right, because he's a Belichick disciple, and Belichick knows the people that came under him better than anybody else in the league. I mean, it is ridiculous how well he plays against guys that he like that were his like fellow coaches.
Except Eric Mangini.
Eric Mangini had other issues.
Yeah, like being a fucking douchebag asshole.
True.
Eric Mangini doesn't even work for ESPN anymore, let alone in the NFL. So
I will say, though, in the positive category for the Texans, while he was largely held in check, DeAndre Hopkins did have a few sick grabs. He's a pretty talented dude.
Yeah, even if he doesn't do well, he always comes up with one or two like nasty grabs.
Yeah, like the whole team played like shit, but it's absolutely not his fault.
Right.
All right. Well, like I said, I think we put or I tried to get to earlier, but I think we put it off long enough. Bill. What are your thoughts on what's going on in Birdland over there?
Get him.
I mean, you guys see me on video and how happy I am right now.
Get him.
I beyond my wildest imagination, I could not have imagined the last three games. Maybe the first two, definitely not the last one. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is an unprecedented performance through three games. I'll get to the history in the NFL in a little bit. But one thing I did want to say is that we're the
historic.
Only, it's the second rookie QB head coach tandem to start 3-0. And you know the other ones were? Oddly enough, Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. But if you look back on those games about Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez, not comparable because Mark Sanchez was a game manager. And
he had
unremarkable stats. Meanwhile, Wentz is just out there fucking slinging his big-ass dick, commanding the team and commanding the offense.
Get him.
I will say, like, going into the season, like, I hated Peterson. I thought he was going to be a terrible coach. He proved me wrong. I'm willing to admit that I was wrong. I was just straight up wrong. It'll be interesting how he does later in the season as teams get more tape on him and the team, and especially once he gets into, like, key close game situations, especially when he needs to, like, manage the clock, and we'll see if he is Andy Reid or not. But right now, the team clearly is behind him, and he's calling masterful games. I mean, throwing different looks at defenses. I mean, it's quite honestly amazing, and definitely not what I would have expected. On the other side of the ball, with the Eagles' defense, I mean, quite frankly, they're one of the best in the league at this point.
Get them.
I thought they would be top 10. Now I think the rest of the way you're talking, are they top 5 or top 3? We'll see. I will say that Antonio Brown had 140 yards and I think 7 catches last week. And it was the quietest 140 yards I've ever fucking seen. And it reminds me, oddly enough, of Terrell Owens in the Super Bowl with the Eagles, where he had like 122 yards. And quite frankly, watching that game, I never would have known if he was on the field or not. It was just a really quiet 100-yard game. And I think that that's a testament to the Eagles' defense, bottling up Antonio Brown, letting him get yards and letting him get catches, but not really breaking the game open and not allowing a very good Steelers team to come back. You know, and I mentioned earlier, let's talk about history for a second. I'm a big history fan. I'm a big history buff. It's one of the reasons why I think Donald Trump mirrors Hitler's rise to power. So let's talk about the historical implications of this team at that moment. I see you, DP, but it's funny because it's true. So let's talk about the historical implications of this team. It's the first time that the Eagles have not allowed a passing touchdown in the first three games since 1934. You know what else happened in 1934, DP? You know what else? Hitler
what else?
Became Führer. How about fucking that, dude? How about that for a fucking take?
All right? Wait, so when the Eagles are good, we get Hitler and Trump. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
You know what? You're welcome. I'll take it.
It's
Eagle
your
Super
fucking
Bowl
fault.
For that, actually.
So yeah,
that's fine.
I agree. That's terrible.
Good. All right. So then it was also the worst Steelers loss in 27 years, which for a team that is consistently competitive and good, that's impressive. The worst loss in 27 years. I mean, good God. And then finally, I will leave you with this little tidbit. The Eagles are the 17th team in the Super Bowl era to start 3-0, with each win coming by at least 15 points. How do you think the other 16 teams did?
Half of them made the Super Bowl.
You tell me.
Half of them made the Super Bowl, and 4 won the championship. So what I'm saying, in a very generic translation, is that we're probably going to the Super Bowl, and also it's Wentz's world, and we're all just fucking living in it. So fuck all of you, fuck the NFL, fuck the Pats, it's the Eagles' time, baby. Get ready for us for the next fucking decade.
I'd like to go back to your whole point about Antonio Brown. I was going up against him this weekend, and I checked. I looked at the score, and I looked at his point total and saw that he had 26 points. It's complete bullshit that you can score that amount of points and have zero impact on the game. Like, in what world is that at all reflective of real football value? I'm salty about that
world.
One.
The Eagles world. That's what you're living in now, bitch.
Well, are you ready? Are you ready for the battle, the Beltway Bird Gang Battle of the Birds 12-0 in Baltimore in December? I'll see you there.
Let's do it, dude. I hope we're both 12-0. We'll do a whole podcast by ourselves.
Can't wait. Super Bowl preview, 12-0 clash.
Just put some saran wrap over your keyboards, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. Full mast.
All right, guys. Okay. I think on to the next segment. That brings us to the time that personally my favorite time, the Basket of Deplorable segment.
A tradition unlike any other.
I think I'd like to move that for this week, our basket can only have room for one person, and we hit on him earlier, but any time you go out and throw not one, not two, not three, not four, not Thanks five, but six interceptions in one game, I think you are the one-man basket of the deplorables for the week. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick after the game was saying, you know, that yeah, some of these were because we were down and we were pressing and blah, blah, blah. Teams are down big every week with theoretically worse quarterbacks, and you don't see guys throw six picks. There were a couple of those late ones where he was just checked out and he was just making lazy throws. This is a team that's in trouble at 1-2, and it is the struggles of the team are personified by Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's always had this reputation of putting a few good games together and kind of then turning back into a pumpkin. I bet the Jets feel really good about not signing him to any kind of long-term big money deal at this point.
Agreed. Bill, who's your deplorable of the week?
Oh, man, I got a special one. And thank God we started this podcast later in the week, because my basket of deplorable is J.J. Watt the twat. A fraud like unlike any other, and he deserves no less than to be out the fucking rest of the season. This try-hard dickhead once again hurts himself, and it's all because he refuses to actually rest and recuperate before he gets back out there on Instagram and shows how hard he works during fucking, you know, working out in his fucking log cabin that's actually a mansion. Fuck him. Oh, he's such a hard worker because he brings his lunch pail to school every day.
Well, one thing I'd just like to add, Mr. Watt, Bill speaks for himself and only himself. His views are not representative of the panel. Please do not hurt me.
But he's still a twat. He's a twat. Tryhard.
I agree with Bill, though. Flipping tires seems like a really bad thing for your back.
When it's already hurt, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any good for football, but maybe tone that down, Mr. Brand.
Or maybe bend with your knees like, you know, someone who does things the right way.
Honestly, he's selfish and doesn't care about his team. Because now he's out, and now that Texans D looks demonstrably worse. So,
yeah, it's all about really him at this point in his career. I feel like he's cultivated a personality that he needs to play into. He's like John Cena if he were an asshole.
Mr. Watt, I'd be happy to supply you with Bill's address in exchange for immunity. Thank you.
It's fine.
Can JJ have a good second career in the WWE? Real quick.
Potential. I think he's got some strong heel potential.
He's too rigid and too much of a fraud. Like, he's too fake. Like there's some realism to professional wrestling.
That is not true.
I mean, right,
we'll have our own special WWE podcast someday, but we don't need to go into it right now.
All right, Tim, put someone in the basket.
Can I put a whole game in the basket? That the Giants Washington team game.
Oh my God!
That whole thing was just awful. Both teams were trying to lose. Both teams were turning the ball over. It was bad. I had to watch it on the East Coast. It was like the 1 o'clock game that we got.
Yeah.
It was real fucking ugly. But if I can't put a whole game, I got to put one player in there. It's Odell Beckham.
Definitely.
I mean,
I get it, man. I get that receivers are a different kind of player. Everybody says they're high strung, they're emotional. But you got to be smart, dude. You can't be a fucking idiot. You're going to hurt yourself with some of those bullshit antics on the sideline, all right? So, Odell Beckham Jr., good game. Way to not, like, lose your shit with Josh Norman because he seems even worse. But calm the fuck down a little bit.
He's a mental midget who cannot handle the pressure of facing a number one DB.
Yeah, but he could clearly handle it. He had, what, 130 yards receiving?
Too emotional, too hot-headed.
Right, and then he got attacked by a fucking kicker stand.
He concussed himself.
Who cares? It's sports. It's entertainment. Let him flip out. It's fun.
Fair enough.
All right, I'll give you a participation trophy the next time too.
Nick, you got somebody?
Oh man, I went through three different people. The obvious nominee is Cody Parkey. Oh man, missing three field goals. Are you kidding me? Like one, like the game winning field goal too. Like get out of here. That was terrible. The under the radar one was Austin Pastores, though, our tackle who committed five holding penalties against Cameron Wake. Five holding penalties. That's bad. But my deplorable of the week is Bill Belichick. Did you see what he wore on Thursday night? He had a cut off crew neck sweatshirt that he looked like he cut that day. Was completely uneven, and then underneath it was an Under Armour shirt with half sleeves and a turtleneck. What is this man doing? That was deplorable. So Bill Belichick, you are deplorable.
Listen, it's a quick turnaround from fucking Josh McDaniels' mom to getting to the sidelines. So cut him some slack.
So Nick, going back to the overall abhorrent performance of the Browns offensive tackle, whose name I will never remember. Is it possible that Hugh Jackson instructed his offensive lineman to hold in doubt due to the fact that the Browns have no more quarterbacks on their roster?
I mean, that's possible, but like, if you're going to do that, like, why not keep a running back into Chip? Why not keep a tight end into Chip and give some help against Cameron Wake? I mean, he's good, but like, double team the guy, like, you know. And besides, there are clearly two quarterbacks on the roster right now, Cody Kessler and Terrell Pryor, who started, you know, basically the whole second quarter under center. Or, excuse me, in the gun.
I'm going off script because you've been talking a lot about Terrell Pryor this week. One thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately, having visited Cleveland recently, I think it's BS that Browns fans act like this, you know, oppressed, down-on-their-luck fan base. When I see every other person in the city of Cleveland sitting there on Saturday wearing scarlet, and when Ohio State hasn't lost a game in damn near half a decade, you can't act like Saturdays don't ever happen on Sunday. I think that's garbage. And I think that's why Clevelanders have worn this whole thing like a badge of honor, because they really aren't down on their luck. They win every week and then just pretend that they don't.
So you're saying they're like Boston, where like the Sox never won, but the Celtics did, and the Bruins did, and the Pats did, for that matter.
Cavs NBA championships. That's all I care about.
More or less.
It's all good now.
So Cleveland is Boston, and that's bad for Nick.
Fuck you guys. All right, let's start looking forward to this week. I know we're coming late in the week. What do you guys think about some fantasy players that we're looking at for this week? What are you guys thinking there?
Okay. Not everybody all at once.
I'll jump in. Do not be fooled by Todd Gurley. I talked about it last week, and I'll talk about it this week. He had a good game, fine. He had two TDs, he had 81 yards, fantastic. He needed 27 totes for that, dude. And the chances of that happening with LA the rest of the season? No, not going to happen, dude. And also, this week, he's got the Arizona D, and we've talked about Arizona before, but their D can shut people down, and they can shut the run down. And I think Todd Gurley is another sit this week. Don't fuck it. He's my bum of the week. Again.
Wow, really original, Bill. Really original.
Well, I got another one if you really want it, but I mean, I'm
well,
assuming
who's
that
your
enough.
who's your start of the week? Can't all the time.
All right, fine. My star of the week is Jordan Howard, your boy up in Chicago.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's already past waivers, but he's going to be a fucking monster. Particularly this week with Lacey out because of these dipshit fucking week four buys. But, I mean, running back's so thin this year now because of all the injuries that, like, he's a monster. Like, I think he's going to be fucking great. Like, I think the Bears are not a good team, but he's good enough in the passing game where no matter what the in-game situation, I think he's going to be – he'll be like a top 15 play for you. He's not going to be like your number one stud, but he's going to be really good.
All right, what do you think, Josh? Studs and busts.
Well, I like to focus on the positive, so I'm gonna focus on my stud of the week first. Kelvin Benjamin held without a catch last week against a very good Minnesota defense. They're going down south, playing indoors against the Falcons. I think that's going to be a track meet, and I think Kelvin comes back in a big, big way.
That's what we're talking about, baby.
If we're looking for a sit, I'm sitting Matt Forte against that Seahawks D. Playing at home, the Seahawks, if the Jets' performance in recent weeks have been any indication, Seahawks could jump out to a lead. That defense combined with potential game situation, I'm staying away from Matt Forte on Sunday.
So for myself, I think I've got my bum this week, or my bums this week, bums, I'll say plural, is any Arizona wideout. Stay away. You never know what's going on there. Carson doesn't look right. And I think that the Rams, you know, will be able to rush the passer there, not allow them to hit a lot of home runs with the deep ball. Stud this week, been talking about him all podcast, and that's got to be Terrell Pryor, man. He's the first, like, dual-threat wide receiver that we've ever seen, right? He's going to factor in heavily in the offense. There's no good quarterback. There's no other really strong, offensive threats on the team until Josh Gordon gets back next week. But, you know, if you could probably get him off waivers, and you could probably start him, plug him in play, and he'll be good for at least a good 17 points, given your format, is what I'm saying today.
Do you guys remember Matt Jones coming out of Arkansas?
Yeah.
And then, like, he did a bunch of coke or something.
Was it coke or meth?
I don't know. It might have been crack.
That sounds right.
Was it really meth? Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Well, you guys talk about more football stuff. I'm going to Wikipedia Matt Jones.
All right, well,
are you volunteering to be the stat guy now?
I'll be the Where Are They Now Wikipedia guy.
I like it.
Wait, there's a tab here that says radio career, and the entirety of that tab says, Jones is no longer working as a sports radio personality in Arkansas.
Good to know.
Good, no explanation. That's good.
Good to know.
That's good. Well, unfortunately, I'm trying to bring him back, but we've lost Tim.
All right.
Oh, my God. Oh, there he is.
We found Tim. We found him.
Oh, my God. Thank God, dude. Jesus.
Sorry. Find the Tim.
It's fine. All right.
Tim, did you want to weigh in on any of your studs or bumps this week for fantasy?
Yeah. Well, first off, fuck you, Bill and Josh, for naming both of my fantasy running backs as your busts of the week.
Well, you got to jump in quicker if you don't want your guys taken.
Also, don't draft. No.
I meant the people I own on my fantasy team.
Oh, well, then draft better.
Yeah, exactly. Luck. Thank you.
I'm 2-1. First off, I want to give myself a little pat on the back for last week. If you guys remember, my stud was LeGarrette Blount. He blew up. My bust was Gronk, who was held without a catch. So, good job, me.
Tim, you were the man.
Thank you. Well, somebody has to be accountable. I'll point out when I do a good job. I noticed nobody else recapped their picks from last week.
Yeah, I was going to do that, but then I couldn't stomach listening to the entire podcast from last week, so that's my bad.
Okay,
that's great plug, dude. Thank you.
I don't know how he came back from this injury, but my start of the week is Jimmy Graham. If Russell Wilson's hobbled, he's not going to be getting inside the pocket doing Russell Wilson things. I mean, he's having sex now, so he sucks as a quarterback. But he's going to throw the ball to Jimmy Graham a lot. Go with him.
Okay. For next week, what games are we interested in? Does anybody have any games that you're looking forward to seeing? Anything that you're looking forward to watching, I guess? Perlman, what do you think about the Baltimore matchup?
I'm looking forward to this week. Based on the record of the other team, you know, this would appear to be the Ravens' first test against a team that won't be drafting in the top five next year. So it's always good to have a measuring stick game like that. That being said, I think Oakland's a very winnable game. Always tough to go west to east or east to west and play on the road. I think especially for a young team, Oakland's defense was better last week. But I think that there are some weaknesses there that the Ravens can exploit. I think home field advantage is the difference in this one. I think the Ravens go to 4-0.
Nice. Bill, what are your thoughts on the other Pennsylvania team? I'm pretty sure that we've figured out what your thoughts are for the Eagles moving forward. But what about the other team in Pennsylvania?
Put them in the trash.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously the Eagles are on bye this week. But, I mean, Pittsburgh is a good team. They're a very consistent team. You got to think that they're going to bounce back. Also, by the way, Tim's favorite person in the entire league, is he has no ownership over a team, Le'Veon Bell, coming back this week. Let's all roll a blunt in celebration. Let's get
Hell
excited
yeah.
about it, dude.
Hell
I
yeah.
mean, like, I mean, as much as I love D'Angelo Williams, I actually do love Le'Veon Bell. I think he's fucking fantastic. I think he's going to fucking pick up where he left off last year. You know, he's well-rested. His muscles are very, very relaxed from all the THC in his body, you know? I mean...
Bill, how many pots do you think he's going to do in the game this week? How many pots do you think he's going to do in this game? Yeah.
How many pots? How many pots?
What?
Did you say how many pots?
Yeah, how many pots exactly do you think he's going to do?
Wait, yo, guys, are you talking about smoking pot?
Yeah, exactly. Is that what you're saying?
Jesus, Bill, you are thick-headed.
Yo, me pots? And Le'Veon...
What the fuck?
Me and Le'Veon are going to roll up a fatty, and we're going to talk about our ACL injuries together, all right?
All right, good for you guys. You mentioned that and me too. It's fine.
What game are you going to be watching while you roll up a fatty with Le'Veon?
I'm going to watch Carolina-Atlanta. I think that's a big game. It's Atlanta just pooped all over New Orleans, and Carolina has not looked that good. I know they played a couple tough matchups, but that's a big game for the NFC South and kind of seeing where that shapes up. So that's what I'll be watching. I think that might be the game of the week in another way. It's kind of shitty slate. Nick, what are you going to be watching?
Yeah, Factory of Sadness rolls on for me this week. I'm going to watch Cleveland, Washington. You know, one of the things that actually is interesting when you watch Browns games, if you watch it through the lens of this is like a D1 AA team trying to beat a D1 powerhouse team. If you watch it from like that with that same perspective, that's basically what's going on with Browns games. Hugh Jackson likes to like pull out every single like gadget or whatever to try to like do anything he can to win with this garbage pile of a team that he's got right now. So kudos to him for that, and you know, we'll see what happens there. Obviously, I think it's eminently winnable given that the fact that Kirk Cousins like just doesn't want to win football games anymore. He's terrible.
You like that?
I do like that. So my guess is, and you know, Browns are getting like 8 points, I think, in some places. That's kind of. I know we're gonna get to gambling in a little bit, but that could be a pretty nice, pick right there. Getting 8 points on the road against Kirk Cousins.
Ha 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 ha! And it returns from last week. I love it, dude. I love it.
Fair enough.
I fucking love it.
So do you guys want to talk about some potential unconventional Survivor picks? What are you guys thinking on that?
Ooh, let's see.
I've got mine.
Lay it on me.
I think the Jets.
Yes.
I think the Jets. I don't
that
think
was that one of mine, dude, but I like
and,
it.
And they're home, and again, into bleeding into gambling, they're home dogs, 3.5. I think that, like, that could be a good play for both gambling perspective and for an unconventional Survivor pick. They're at home. Seattle's coming out east.
Let's do it.
Time zone differences, you know, that shit's real. So, Russell Wilson doesn't look right. I know Fitzpatrick had a pretty bad game, but, you know, I think the dude can bounce back. He should have his receivers healthy this week. So I think that could be a pretty good play.
Mine for the week is Tennessee going into Houston. Tennessee's plus 5.5 right now, going in pretty big underdogs. I don't think that more often than not, I think teams being professionals at this level can get back to work and face the next game regardless of what happened the week before. But the way the Texans got smacked around against the Pats last week, I'm not ready to pick them straight up against anyone. I like Tennessee as a sneaky one to go in there and pull out a win.
All right, so I got one. I'm going to go with New Orleans over San Diego. I know New Orleans 0-3, and they've looked pretty shitty. But that San Diego team is nothing special. And they're going to San Diego, which is maybe worse for them than playing on the road. They need to get the fuck out of San Diego. They're going to L.A. That's it. They're just going to be bad. That was really convincing, right?
I mean, extremely.
I'm gonna change my pick now in my pool.
Yeah,
there you go. You heard it here, guys. Authoritative
insight and analysis.
Yeah. Often wrong, never in doubt.
So I also had the Jets over Seattle as a pick. I'll also take Oakland over Baltimore. And Josh,
fuck you.
Please don't hit me. But yeah, like I like Oakland there. I think
Josh
hit him.
Khalil Mack, more like Khalil Whack.
Call Josh Greg Norman because he's going to beat the shit out of you.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
What about from a gambling perspective? Bill, were you gonna hammer on anything other than what I just touched on?
No, so I'll start this off. Let's recap. We as a group were 3-2 overall. I was 2-0, hitting Oakland and the Eagles, which, DP, you were not here, but everybody lambasted me for. Said, there's no way the Eagles are going to cover. There's no way. And I, too, said, there's no way the Eagles are going to win. But I knew they were going to cover. And they did. And they also cemented themselves as a top five NFL franchise in the 2016 season. I mean, that's fine. So,
you know what? If I can guarantee a Steelers loss every game by inflating their chances,
you know what, dude,
to beat
fine.
The spread, I'll take it.
I understand. So I got three picks this week.
Three?
One
save
was
some
the,
for the rest of us.
No, it's all good, dude. Well, I mean, one DP already took. So one is the Jets.
That's mine.
I have them at 2.5. But pretty much, I mean, what you said it was my analysis on it, so we'll leave it at that. I have Detroit -3. I just think that the Bears' D will be overmatched for the Detroit offense. I mean, the Detroit defense is also terrible, but I just think the Bears are just not good enough. I think the Bears D might take away Marvin Jones fantasy wise. They do have a 10th ranked passing defense, but I think as a unit they cannot stop Detroit. I mean, both these defenses are dog shit, so I think it's going to be a high scoring game. But I think Detroit wins. I think they win plus. I think they win more than three, no doubt. And then the last one is Dallas minus three. And it's funny that like we're doing this podcast and like now like Dez Bryant may or may not play. BZ fractures fucking like fibula or whatever. I'll be honest. In terms of this game, like long term, it matters for Dallas. For this game, it doesn't matter. Like, you could roll out a fucking high school team and beat San Francisco. I mean, they are legitimately the trashiest team I've ever seen. And Chip Kelly cannot adapt, and they don't have the weapons to compensate for that. And I don't think they're going to slow Dallas at all. So, I mean, I think Dallas is going to fucking roll with or without the run.
Yeah, just while we're talking about Dallas a little bit, any cause for concern that Dak don't seem to, or that Dez and Dak don't seem to be developing any chemistry?
I mean, until he beats Dak's mother, I think it's okay. I mean, then you need to worry. Well, once Dez starts beating up people's moms, then that's fine. Then it's a problem. Otherwise, that's an issue.
I don't think it's a problem. I think with Dak, the Cowboys are trying to be more of a game management ball training with Dak and Elliott, and I don't think they're looking to be the type of vertical passing team that they were with Tony Romo. So I think Dez has to get on board or get out.
Shut him down for four weeks.
It's going to be weird when Romo comes back in what, 6 weeks or whatever the fuck it is, because he's coming back apparently.
Dude,
we talked about that last week. Like, fucking, it's all about bringing Romo back, and it's like, well, if Dak's winning, then why the fuck are you going to ruin a good thing?
Any doctor who clears Tony Romo to play football should be, like, whatever the equivalent of disbarred is.
Totally agree.
Like, he's going to break.
Unhealthy at this point,
like,
dude.
He's going to be that guy who, like, breaks his back on the field and is paralyzed. His back is broken.
Multiple times.
Like, he should not be allowed to play football anymore. And I like Tony Romo. I've always been a Romo fan.
Look, listen, let him set him off into the pasture. Let him go play hide and go seek with 15 guys in West Virginia like he did for his bachelor party. And just let him live his life, dude. Like
nerd.
If that's what he wants to enjoy, then fine. He clearly doesn't want to play football anymore. His back is telling him that he doesn't want to play football anymore. The only person in the entire world that's not listening is Jerry Jones.
All right, getting back to the gambling. Getting back to the gambling. I'm looking at one game on the slate here, and I have to assume it's a typo because the Cardinals are sitting here giving 8 points, and I don't care if it is to the Rams. The way the Cardinals have been playing thus far, they are in no position to be giving 8 points to anybody, much less a team that showed some signs of life last week. I think that the Rams are a difficult matchup for the Cardinals. I think the Rams have been playing pretty good defense. They can bring pressure. Carson Palmer is having enough trouble making good decisions on his own. You get some licks on him. You get some guys up in his face. He could throw some picks, and that's the type of thing that could kind of equalize the talent gap there. I like the Rams getting 8 all day long.
I agree with that. I think that's right.
Anybody else want to throw in any gambling locks?
No, you got mine. You got mine, though. well, good.
Well, now that we have you, let's wrap this up and get the hell out of here, because while this might only be like an hour, 10-minute podcast, we've been sitting here for at least 2, and it feels like 4.
We've actually been sitting here for an hour and 30 minutes.
Feels like 10.
It always does with you guys.
It's shorter than the 3 hours that it took last time, so progress.
Well, that's probably because of Adam.
No.
He spent the whole podcast trying to ride a wave.
he tried to rank his 10 favorite fruits.
Oh, he spent the whole podcast bitching about the Bills for like 10 minutes at a time, dude.
Like I said, that's why it was 3 hours.
Adam did send me some Bills takes.
He also sent them to me.
No, we're not doing that, dude. Can we just, if nobody else had any locks, then I think we need to finish up because we're like we're going to be like right around an hour, even with cutting, I think, or a little bit less than an hour, and that's what I prefer. And I think that's a good stepping stone getting down 40 minutes.
Perfect.
I think 45 minutes is where we.
All right, guys. Well, we're running out of time here. Anything else that you guys are looking forward to for the week coming up?
A nice, easy week, not worrying about the Eagles. And I just enjoy football.
For the Bucks are awesome.
In real life, they're awesome.
Yeah, guys, just enjoy your football Sunday and ball out.
So after attending a game in MNT territory a couple weeks ago, it's looking like I'm going to be at MNT Bank State for a game this weekend. Looking forward to lots of purple camo, crab cake, and pit beef, baby. Let's go get them, Baltimore.
Yeah, you do.
All right,
guys.
We probably should.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. We're gonna ball out.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
ball out.
Ball out.
You guys are
ball out.